My interesting experience was most everything came back good, except they found something on my kidney, my left kidney. And this is where maybe the interpretation and the skill level comes into play, because they said, it looks like you have a 15 millimeter kidney stone, which is massive. And so I start going down this rabbit hole of like, oh my God, I have a kidney stone. How did this happen? Like, I'm a very healthy person. Is this even possible? And I'm reading stories about people that have passed 7 millimeter stones and it was worse than labor, you know, giving birth. And thinking, okay, so 15 millimeter, what does this operation look like? You got to break up the stone. I'm spiraling, like thinking about all these things. Pronuvo said, you need to go see a urologist to figure out what this is and what to do here. And so I call around town. The earliest I can get into a urologist is 4 weeks.
Welcome to the Beautifully Broken podcast, where healing meets high performance. From cancer recovery to wellness technology, we bring you real stories and real innovators to help you reclaim your biology and build your personal blueprint for health. Let's go. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Beautifully Broken podcast. We have the lovely Renee Bells joining us. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back on. I love your show, and it's always great to chat with you.
We've never done a solo, correct? It's been you and your sister. Is that true?
Yeah. I guess on the podcast. I was thinking we did a one-on-one for your program.
Yeah.
But yeah, for podcasts, I guess it's always been Lauren and I.
That's right. Yeah. Renee is a contributor to the Biological Blueprint, which I've worked on it for over a year.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
A lot of good content.
It's one of those things. It's like, I don't think I'll ever stop, because we're constantly tweaking and kind of learning the nuance of things, something simple as light.
Yeah.
Right? It was like, what's light as medicine? And so this idea of getting this 50,000 to 10,000 lux in the morning,
yeah,
is very different from a red light panel, is very different from outdoors for 30 minutes. And it's different if you're in Austin, Texas or Buffalo, New York.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're always learning. Always.
We're always learning. If we bumped into each other at a health conference, what would you tell me you do in the world of wellness?
Oh, goodness. Well, you know, it's really always evolving. So right now, for the last year, I've actually taken a break from working with clients. So for almost 15 years, I was coaching clients one-on-one. You know, with my background, I got my master's in nutrition. So I started with nutrition and then I broke more into health optimization, biohacking, and I loved the coaching. And then I really got into the podcasting world and I was like, I feel like there's another way I can impact this planet. And so the last year, I've kind of been exploring that. Like, how can I reach more people with the podcast through social media? You know, I love what you say about being like a wellness concierge. Like, I love spending time testing different technologies and figuring out what works for me, what could work for other people, because I think that's a huge missing piece. You know, in fact, I'm rambling on this answer, but Lauren and I were just on The Human Show on YouTube, and they came to my house and they spent a whole day here, and I showed them all the different technology and gadgets that I love and I am so excited about and so passionate about. And of course, you got the naysayers that come out, the online trolls, and they're like, this is just a long product pitch. All you're doing is telling people that biohacking is for the wealthy. And I'm like, wait, That's not what I was saying. I was trying to say, look at all these options that we have. I'm not saying you need to go buy all of these, because they're not all going to work for you. And so I love that you're always talking about that too. Yeah, so I'm still kind of navigating. I'm going through a lot of my own personal health stuff right now and going down rabbit holes of dental stuff, which I'm sure we'll talk about, sleep apnea, and just trying to spend my time researching and learning as much as I can so that I can figure out really what path I want to focus on and who I want to help. Long term.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah. Beautiful. I wouldn't have told you all that in the conference hall, but there you go.
Well, first of all, it's your podcast. You're allowed to ramble. So ramble us away. Take us down any rabbit hole you'd like.
Great.
And secondly, you know, I watched that interview on YouTube, The Human Show.
Oh, great.
And I thought it was great. And I read some of those comments. I was like, these people didn't watch this, because you didn't frame it that way. You talked about your journey. You talked about your personal experience. You talk about why you would pull these levers. There's things that we do. You're not going to get an ozone machine in nature. You're not going to get a box that heats up to 200 degrees and makes you sweat in nature. For the most part, yeah. Right? Yeah, you could make a sweat dome. But, you know, we use these levers of influence or technology. You know, I'm not going to go find a magnetic coil, which gives me 1,000 times the strength of the Earth's magnetic resonance to increase circulation and energy output in a cell. Right. So it depends on where we're at, right? And we can talk about the modern... It's like, I feel like everybody has like a low-level chronic fatigue syndrome. That everybody seems tired and fried to me when I talk to them. I was like, you don't look well.
Yeah.
I would never say that to somebody's face, but when I talk to people, I was like, wow, they're really struggling to carry the thread here. Where's your attention? Because it certainly doesn't feel present to me. Mm. And I would say, you know, our phones and the television and all the content available to us is lobbying for our attention and never really letting it go. And so how could you feel well and energetic if we're not present? Right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really not surprising that people have fatigue and brain fog and they feel like they have ADD or ADHD. You know, it's like, I mean, come on, we live in a pretty toxic environment. And you're right. The social media and technology, it's just constant unless it's practice, you know, being present, putting your phone away, those things. Yeah.
Yeah. Go snowboarding with your family for a few days, all the things.
Oh, yeah.
Just before I forget, you know, this week it was like, we're going through the process. Everybody in Austin, Texas, is James Vanderbeek passed away. He was an actor, and some people know him from Dawson's Creek, Friday Night Lights, and just a really good family man.
Yeah.
But he was, I think he was 48, 47, passed away from colon cancer. And this is Eric Dane, passed away today. He's 53, ALS. Yeah. You know, we're having this younger, my generation, you know.
Yeah.
Is passing away from these terrible illnesses at a rate I don't think anybody has ever experienced. And I don't think at this point it's deniable. And so back to your point of the interview, for people to come online and hate, you know, I really feel like that shows they're hurt.
For sure.
They're hurting. It's like, well, you took all this time to make a comment. I'm like, and it brought up a feeling or a reaction in you. Do you feel like, is it the inequality? Is it the lack of fairness? What was your experience with being lied to in the past, you know, but
yeah, there's a lot to break down.
Man, I know all the things that you do. Well, not all the things. That's why you're on the podcast, but most of them. And they're actually really solid in the way they complement foundational health and mitochondrial energy and circadian rhythm. So
yeah. Yeah. Thank you for saying that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know it's so hard when you read these comments, you know, it's like, I want to pick up the phone and call that person and be like, what's going on?
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. You know, we do our best.
Yeah. I had a brutal one 2 weeks ago. I got a Neuronic helmet.
Oh, yeah. I used to have one of those.
Neuronic. It's like a long wavelength. It's a red light helmet that's not red light. It's near infrared. And you put it on and it targets some microglia. And every comment was like, this is bullshit. That can't be real. This doesn't reach the brain. I'm like, dude, I'll be honest. I'm like, I feel tingly when I wear it. I go to sleep better. It improves my sleep scores. I'm a problem down regulator at night, and this fixes that for me every time.
Amazing.
You know, but people were like, oh, you were paid to do that. I was like, I wasn't paid to do this. I did an unboxing for the company.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, it was brutal, the comments. And one guy, I was like, I posted the PubMed studies and I posted their white papers. And I was like, dude, I'll be honest with you. This is a pretty nasty comment, but I've been through metastatic cancer and here's my experience with this tech. I was like, and also, like, if you think it's so terrible and you think it's such a scam, why do they offer you a 90-day money-back guarantee on their product? Like, what do you have to hate about? He's like, he wrote me, he goes, thank you for saying that. He's like, I'm sorry I was a little harsh there. I was like, you
know,
to your
good
point.
Good for you, like, for saying that, yeah.
Well, we want to do it with everybody, but, you know, do you want to spend your life arguing in the comment section?
Right. Yeah, you can lose a lot of your life doing that. So it's not worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, well, and you know, there's a lot of people that are getting paid to unbox things and promote things. And so people are skeptical of that. But I think for you and I mean, I've been sent products and been asked to post about it. And if I try it and I don't like it, I don't believe in the science, whatever, I just send it back.
Yeah.
I just send it back, even though it could be a $1,000 free device. And I'm like, I don't believe in it. I'm sending it back. So
we have to have you and your sister on like soon. We need to talk about this space of health fluence.
Yes.
Because it is a real thing. And I called out a doctor yesterday. I actually made it real. And I was like, this seems harsh. It was Dr. Dawn, who's an oncologist. And she said, and she's like, well, you know, 50% of Amazon supplements are fake. And I was like, eh. I was like, there was one study in which they pulled like an immune supplement, an herbal supplement. It was like 32 bottles. And they found half the bottles had not exactly the labeled contents were in the bottle. So there was some either mislabeling or there was some false product. But it was not 50% of products on Amazon. And people say that. They're like, you know, half of And it's those little things where we like need to take a greater responsibility being in a space of the public eye or health fluence that we don't make up numbers. Yeah. And we always, more and more I'm like, I think I remember this detail to be, don't put me on the cross if I'm wrong. Because there's so much stuff in my head. I know, as you know, it's like, how much data can you remember?
Right, right. We get numbers wrong and we do our best. But you're right. And I'm guilty of that too. Sometimes you hear something from so many figures that you trust in the space that then you repeat it. And you're like, I should have done the legwork to make sure that that was correct.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's an issue. And maybe we can talk about, if we get to this, like the Pronuvo scan and full body MRI, I think that's like the next thing that's kind of blowing up. And I had a really interesting experience with that. So I'm going to do a video. I'm going to share a video very soon about that.
Well, let's go there now. That feels hot.
Okay. I'm curious, what do you think about the full body MRI as like a early detection screening?
I think it's phenomenal.
Okay.
I think it's a joke that it's not covered by insurance.
Yeah.
Because if we were really invested in changing the landscape of cancer, we would provide that no radiation, no damage scan for free as part of your health insurance program. There is, of course, the very skilled job of reading magnetic resonance imaging, which that is not a set skill. You have wild different interpretation on what is good and what is bad in a scan. And you have to also think about what is the on-ramp for the person that is sitting there and they're like, hey, we found this mass in your left clavicle, or we found this. And how do you deal with that emotional landmine, right? In a good way. So you're like lots of pieces of that puzzle need to be engineered and operated for if it were to scale.
Right.
The thing about it is I find it that the price point, now there's Pronuvo and there's Ezra. The Ezra, the full body whammy, total car wash, like the brain stem and the organs and the peritoneum and everything is like $5,000.
Oh, wow.
They advertise it as $650, but that's like, I think it's just like a chest MRI or something. It's not really like go for the whole thing, right?
Right. Just torso. Yeah.
I think it's a great thing. It's the price point and you need to do it every year. It's not a one and be like, great, don't have anything because you can have a rapid aggressive cancer.
Yeah. I agree with all that. But my interesting experience was most everything came back good, except they found something on my kidney, my left kidney. And this is where maybe the interpretation and the skill level comes into play because they said, it looks like you have a 15 millimeter kidney stone, which is massive. And so I start going down this rabbit hole of like, oh my God, I have a kidney stone. How did this happen? Like, I'm a very healthy person. Is this even possible? And I'm reading stories about people that have passed 7 millimeter stones and it was worse than labor, you know, giving birth. And I'm thinking, okay, so 15 millimeter, what does this operation look like? You got to break up the stone. I'm spiraling, like thinking about all these things. Pronuvo said, you need to go see a urologist to figure out what this is and what to do here. And so I call around town. The earliest I can get into a urologist is 4 weeks. So that gives me 4 weeks to really think and stress and be anxious about this. Mm-hmm. You know, am I going to wake up in the middle of the night trying to pass this massive kidney stone? And so I finally get into the urologist and they say, we're not sure what it is. We need to do a CT scan. I go do a CT scan. Meanwhile, this is not going to be covered by insurance. So I pay $250 to meet with the urologist. Mm. Then I go get the CT scan. It's a couple $100. Then I go back. I pay another $150 to see the urologist again. They say, whoops, we should have done with contrast. You got to go back, do another one with and without contrast. That was $800. Then I go back to the urologist again, another $150 for them to say, we don't know what this is. It could be a hemorrhagic cyst. It could be a kidney stone. It could be some kind of abnormal growth that you've had since birth. You need to now go to a nephrologist. And that's kind of where I am right now. I'm like, I need a little break because I spent the $2,200 on a Pronuvo scan thinking, okay, this is worth the money. Now I just dropped another $2,000 in cash. Still no answers. My kidney markers look great on my blood tests. I have no signs or symptoms of kidney issues. So the question is, like, where do you draw the line on potentially false positives, you know, things that are in the body that you've just had your whole life? And I have a friend that's going through the exact same thing with a lung issue. She did Pronuvo around the same time as me. And she's gone the same down a very similar rabbit hole of, is it just something that's totally fine? So I'm not saying people shouldn't do the Pronuvo. I think it's great because you're right. In the cancer space, early detection, I mean, we're missing the game. If insurance could cover that, so it's not such a big out-of-pocket cost.
Yeah.
And then I think my message to people is, be ready to have more money to potentially have to investigate more.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So here we are.
Yeah.
Just an interesting perspective. Because on Instagram, you just hear all the upsides. Oh, I got a great scan. Or, oh my God, they caught lung cancer at stage one. It saved my life. All amazing stories.
Worth it.
But there's another side to think about.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an imperfect field. I hear people argue it all the time.
Yeah.
Do you know Dr. Mike? Do you follow Dr. Mike online?
What's his last name? Not Belkowski, not Red Light Report.
No. He's like big. He's like Oprah big.
Oh, not sure I do.
Oh, yeah, just Dr. Mike Varshavsky.
No, I don't know that name.
He's like very conservative. Anyways, he like kind of... like how Charlie Kirk would bring people into like conversation, like arguing that conservative liberal side. He does it with, he'll like put like Dr. Amen on the spot.
Oh.
And be like, I want you to know, and make some really good points. He's like, here's what's misleading about your business model, about the spec scan. As a medical ER doctor, here's what's out of integrity. And I think it's good for the space. Now, I don't agree with him on everything, and he's very pro everything that you would just do in standard care. But he had the founder of Pronuvo on, and it's worth going to watch that interview. And he grills him on the money that they spent to pay for Kim Kardashian and all the people that are in media to go get scans.
Mm.
You know, millions and millions of dollars. I don't know that it was millions. It's a lot. The budget to say, look what I'm doing. It's great. You need it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? Why don't we hold supplement companies and technology companies to the same bar that we would want like a pharmaceutical company to be held to?
Right. Yeah. That kind of budget is wild.
It's a big budget. I should go find that number. I bet I can find that pretty quick. It was a big budget.
Okay.
And it was like, it was kind of one of those moments. You're like, wow, that's a really great point.
I'll have to watch that.
It's a really great point.
Yeah.
And I understand making noise and getting it out there. It's kind of like Catch Bio, which is, I think you use Catch Bio.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's great.
Yeah. I think it's great. But what I really want, I want them to include optional, even if it doesn't affect your score, things like fasting, sauna use, hydrogen. I would love them to include like an immune age or like a Dunedin pace for rates of that you could see that, because if cancer is a mitochondrial issue, then can we get some metrics that are, I understand they aren't, it's not as validated as every other like metric or yardstick we have for health that's used in Western medicine. However, I really believe in some of these things. Like, you know, if we could just say deburdening mercury or glyphosate from the terrain is valuable.
Right.
Like a 40% 40 to 60% reduction in all-cause mortality from 4 saunas a week. Why couldn't those things be on there? But aside from that,
yeah,
like I think having a conversation that's unbiased about your lifestyle practice, be it, I've never had my home tested for radon. That's a huge impact in if you'll get cancer or not.
Right.
You know, I think, but having a dashboard and the 500 known modifiable risk scores that I am aware of, and in my computer program is promptingly like, go get your PSA, go see your dermatologist for a full body analysis, like things that we all just skip.
Right.
Because you can't keep all of those things in your head. So
yeah,
I think programs like that are truly, and as that program evolves and they get genetics and they get lab work and all the other things and sleep data and wearables.
Right.
I mean, I think that for $8 a month is going to be, I don't think there's anything like on the market, period. I think it's pretty impressive.
No. And I think they're going to keep growing it, which is exciting. They're not saying this is the product, we're done. I'm curious, is there anything about like trauma or adverse childhood events in the app?
I can't remember in the intake form.
Okay.
But what, you know, polyvagal theory, now I know it's not perfect, but it sets a framework for the conversation of where is your HRV? Like where is your nervous system tone with relation to your day and your waking time and your sleep cycles? I think even that off a wearable would be really good for like, you know, because that perpetual trauma that lives in the tissue does show up in some of those scores.
Right.
I can speak from my experience.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think it was in, it wasn't Naisha's book. I forget what cancer book I read recently. And I'm not going to throw a number out because I don't remember the number.
Mm-hmm.
But the percentage of cancer patients they found that had lost a parent before the age of 18 was mind-blowing.
Mm.
And so it's just that, again, I mean, that's kind of the adverse childhood events, right? That would be a score if you lost a parent before the age of 18. But the connection there with cancer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's a lot, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Interesting stuff. So
I know. It's wild. It really is, again, back to this world of like health fluence. I really just to back to the Pronuvo and your experience, like it's important for you to share your experience. Like that is authentic and not bad, not throwing it under the bus and being like, look, it found something. And now what do I do with this information?
Right. Yeah. It's maybe easy for me to say, oh, I wish I had saved my money and not done it. But I could also very easily be the person that says, thank God I spent the money because it saved my life.
That's right.
So, it's more information for people to think about.
Yeah. Because you've coached for so long, you've been in the space for so long, are there a top 5 yardsticks of health that you like to understand about a person, like diagnostic testing?
Ooh.
Or top 10 or whatever. Is there anything that like pops out? You're like, I want to see this. I want to see this. I want to see this. I want to see this.
That's a good question. I mean, always just a basic blood panel is so great. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just want to see that on everyone. You know, even just A1C and fasting insulin, I think can really shine a light on even like quote unquote healthy people. It's amazing. They can come in with no symptoms, say, hey, I'm just being proactive in my health, but their fasting insulin's elevated, their A1C is elevated.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. Maybe we'll just say glucose markers, mm-hmm. blood sugar, maybe put a CGM on. I'm huge on HRV. I think the conversation is growing, but it needs to grow faster because it's like, it's the easiest thing, right? You don't need blood to test this. It's not saliva or urine or stool. It's the easiest biomarker and it can tell you so much about what is happening in your body based off of what did you do differently that impacted your sleep or your diet or your exercise and how is that showing up in your HRV?
Mm.
And then sleep tracking. I know it's not 100% accurate, you know, with an Oura ring or a BioStrap, but I think it can glean a lot of insight. I am the sleep queen. So I think if you're not sleeping well, you're going to really struggle with everything else. Mm-hmm. It's going to be harder to get your butt to the gym. It's going to be harder to go buy those fresh veggies at the farmer's market and come home and cook it. Like, I just think sleep is so, so, so foundational for
Me
people.
Too.
Yeah. And I think with the wearables, because we know they're not 100% accurate, the trends are really where the magic is.
Mm.
Right. So seeing.
Amen.
Yeah. So not, you know, was it really 10 minutes of deep sleep? Oh, we don't really know. But Did you get 2 hours of deep sleep yesterday? Okay, something happened.
Yeah. Is there a trend?
Is there a trend? Yeah.
Yeah. So we had HRV. We had sleep. We had CBC. We had, what else? You said insulin.
I say anything with glucose. So glucose. I think A1C, fasting insulin. And then if you're up for doing a CGM, you know, I think Lauren calls it like the lifestyle tracker, you know, to have a CGM on.
Mm-hmm.
And then something that is kind of, I think, getting worked out is being able to test cortisol more often.
Mm-hmm.
So Ellie Health, you know, now we can check salivary cortisol at any point at home. I think that's a good option. I think we still need to grow that app and like, what do we do with this information, right? Mm-hmm. We don't want to just give more data to people when they don't know what to do with it. But I think they are really close to really perfecting that of, okay, this is what that means. Because a lot of people, going back to the health fluence, they're saying online, oh, everyone has high cortisol. Take this ashwagandha, rhodiola, L-theanine, phosphatidylserine supplement. No. It's like, hold up. Hold up. Yeah, people would be shocked at how many people have low cortisol or flatlined cortisol.
Flatline.
Or cortisol dysregulation, right? Low in the morning, high in the middle of the night. And so I think the Dutch test is great for looking at this, right? We can look at the cortisol awakening response. Mm-hmm. Amazing test. It's a couple hundred dollars, so not everyone's willing to do that. But I think the Ellie Health could be a cool thing because it's just a little salivary stick. You just check it on your phone. And it's instantaneous. So
how do you spell that?
E-L-I.
Ellie Health.
Ellie Health.
Have you had them on the show?
Not yet. Not yet. Because we're really, like I said, we're working through, Lauren and I have been testing it. They're bringing a testosterone and progesterone test on the market any day now. So we want to test that. And then we will do a podcast at some point this year with them.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So the whole world of cortisol, I think, is really important.
I like a genetic test, and that's not one you need to run all the time. It's like a one-off.
Yeah.
And I know there's a bunch of different services out there. Is there a genetic test that you've enjoyed the report and data from?
I still go back to DNA Company and Self-Decode.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're great. It's a lot of information. So yeah. I think if you are not in the space, work with a coach that's familiar with those tests that can help you navigate. Or if you're ready to like go down the rabbit hole, you can watch videos, you can read. I mean, it's just endless information. But I think, yeah, I think genetics are great just to give you, you know, we say genetics are like what, 8 to 12%, you know, that's an argued number all the time. But just to get the idea, like for me, eye-opening was that I have the Alzheimer's gene.
Which one? Which SNPs do you have?
So I'm APOE3/4.
Me too.
Okay. So many of us are.
Mm-hmm.
So many of us are. Mm-hmm. But it's cool how much we know about that gene now and what we can do to help with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd rather know that at a younger age, right? So, but I mean, there's a lot of great genes that can be really helpful for people. Because I think it just kind of helps narrow the focus, right? Instead of trying to do all the things, it's like, well, is that really what your genetics are asking for? If you can do all the things, great. But if you're really busy and you're trying to just say, what do I really need to do? I think genetics can streamline that for people.
Yeah, I do think it's a good awareness profile, especially for the Alzheimer's. There's certain cancers that you can have a genetic propensity for, so a risk profile.
Yeah, and I have that too for ovarian cancer.
Mm.
So I actually had a geneticist tell me, as soon as I'm done having babies, that I should have a hysterectomy.
When did they tell you this?
Just like a year ago.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
How did you take that information?
I think I just nodded and said, thank you. Bye. Yeah, I'm not in the camp of like, okay, I'm at a genetic risk. Let me just like chop everything off and out. I'd rather just continue on my really healthy journey and do everything I can to reduce my risk for those, you know, for ovarian cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Because hysterectomy, people think it's not a big deal. But you're changing your body forever by doing that. Of course, if you need to do it, in some cases, you got to do it. But then you need to really focus on offsetting that. Same as taking out an appendix or a gallbladder or a kidney. You know, we're just chopping these things out and not talking about, well, now we need to replace it with this. You know, you're throwing off the balance of the body. There has to be some kind of new course that goes with that. And so, yeah, I'm not going to get a hysterectomy and, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's wild. That's a whole podcast. I really feel strongly about the body's intuitive design that's quite perfect if we remove the blockades and to take out an energetic clock or a center that is a regulatory system of the body working sometime in the day. Full stop. Medicine does not know the implications of this, that doesn't know it. And so I understand the preventative. It seems very reactionary to me. I understand it's always a personal choice. Wouldn't be the one I would make, but I'm informed in a different way than most people in the public. So I can't judge it. But when I hear people saying that, I was like, oh man, I wonder if they were privy to this information. Probably not, right? And so the point of, I think, opportunity here is that when you go into a doctorate and you're trained in medical school and you go into private practice, you don't have time to do what we're doing right now. It's like you talk to people all day long, all year long. So you're privy to how things are changing in the space. You have to sort through some bullshit, just like anybody else. But it's a really, I think the only way that the course is righted in our ship of care is a health coach.
Yeah.
I really do. And now there should be discernment and a program and a literacy for that as well. Because, man, there's some bad ones out there.
Yes. But if that was a licensed provider.
Yes, it should
be. As a health coach. And yep. I think it was Chris Kresser that said health coaches will be the future of medicine.
Yeah.
Because, people are just overwhelmed. There's so much information and data. And they're like, well, I don't even know what to do with this, how to implement it. How do I stick to a routine? And that's where the magic of a health coach can come in. But you're right. There are some people just calling themselves health coaches because they maybe overcame some personal health issue. And now they're a health coach. But if it could be a licensed provider, maybe insurance even covered it one day. Can you imagine?
I think that will come. I think that will come. If not, I think it will start in private. I mean, there's plenty of private practices that utilize a health coaching service.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
And it's a really hard, it really is a hard role because you're dealing with all the nuanced things that like a doctor does definitely not have time for. But it's really the tough thing is agreements and buy-in and behavior change. It's never the information. It's never the one point of data that comes back from the test. Numbers are numbing.
Yeah.
It doesn't activate the part of the brain that says, I should change something. It's that emotional piece where people feel into, do I really want this to be my next 20? Is this what I want my life to be? What am I willing to do about it? How do I feel? What are my options? And that's, I think, where a coach in an unbiased format can hold up that mirror and be like, look, I'm hearing you, but here's how many steps you're telling me you take. I'm looking at your sleep data. I'm looking at your nutrient profile. And I'm saying, these are fundamentals. These are foundational things that are not in alignment. We're going to keep solving for a lot of other stuff until we get these in check.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, a huge part of the way I grew my private practice was I reached out to different doctors, functional medicine doctors, acupuncturists, chiropractors. And I said, hey, I know you understand the importance of nutrition. Why don't I take that off your hand? You don't have time. Mm-hmm. Be the acupuncturist, be the chiropractor, be the functional medicine doctor that's prescribing bioidentical hormones and peptides and doing IV therapy. Let me do the rest for you. Mm-hmm. And it was so easy.
Yeah.
I never got a no. They were like, oh, thank God. I finally, please help my patients with all this. I'll run all the labs. I'll give them to you. I'll tell the patients they have to see you. It's not optional. Mm-hmm. And then so they come to me and they're already bought in, right? The doctor said they have to do this. And then, yeah, I can do my magic. They can do their magic. It's like, it was a great balance.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so good. It's so good.
Yeah.
Some other things that I picked up from that genetics was just recently, I did Max Gen.
Oh, yeah. What do you think about that?
I really like that team.
Okay.
Debbie at Max Gen is amazing. And if you order the Works panel, you can sit down with them.
Okay.
So she'll do a walkthrough on what does it all mean? Because it's a lot of information. A lot of information. I don't like the DNA company.
Okay.
For a myriad of different reasons. I think self-decode is probably like the deepest dive. There was so much information that I was a little lost in the sauce, but I like Max Gen. The things like I don't do well with methylated B vitamins and it actually makes me agitated and drives like mania. Like I'm like, I get so worked up. It's like I had like 3 cups of coffee and I never knew that. And I was like, the second I cut out B vitamins, I was like, I feel way better.
Wow. And what told you that? Was it that you don't have any MTHFR variants? Or was there something else they looked at?
I don't know what the SNP was that, that said, it wasn't definitive, but it said, be careful with methylated B vitamins. Yeah. You might want to try high dose creatine, 10 grams of creatine, which is a gentle methylator.
Yeah, that's great.
Can't tell you the difference.
Wow.
That made in my performance, physiology, and neurofunction. Wow. It was big.
Yeah. That's. Do you know Dr. Tyler Panzner?
Mm-mm.
He's great. I actually think if you want a one-on-one genetic coach, he's phenomenal. It's not inexpensive, but he can really pinpoint, like, he's seeing, you know, people are taking lion's mane haphazardly. And he's like, you wouldn't believe what I'm seeing happen to people when they take lion's mane. And that's something that's thrown around in the biohacking space. Like, oh, it's great. Increases BDNF. It's a good mushroom. But he can like really break down all these things that are impacting people. He says he usually is taking people off of supplements when they come to see him versus adding supplements.
Yeah. If you think about it from an ancestral view, for you to collect the nutrients in a pile of food that is in five, you know, because B vitamins typically are like, you're taking these big pills, with a lot of stuff, that substrate into your food profile, it would be impossible to do.
Right.
Or rhodiola or whatever. You know, lion's mane in these like functional coffee blends. I agree. I have questions about it all. I have questions. And not that I think they're good or bad. I just don't know. And is it, you know, A, how are they processed? What's the dosing? Do you do it every day? That's the other thing that's never made some. Do I take a supplement every day? Like, do I need desiccated animal organs, 6 pills every day? I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I think we need to be cycling supplements. And I just kind of naturally do it. When a bottle runs out, I take a little break. And then something in the universe usually pings me. And it's like, hey, remember that supplement? Maybe it's time to get back on that. I try and like follow that intuition because you're right. These people like, you know, Dave Asprey or Brian Johnson that are taking 200 capsules every day, I just don't think that's the answer. That doesn't resonate with me.
The only thing I'll say is like, and I know everybody has their opinion about Brian. Brian has like 7 doctors in a lab. So they are monitoring his response rates to everything. So I think he's a little different.
Yeah.
And he's a little less opportunistic. Like I understand Brian's a great marketer and he has his program and everything, but he's measuring the data on himself. And now he's started this new thing, which everybody was up in arms about. You know, you can do Brian's program. You can apply for $1 million a year. Did you see that? 3 people?
I did.
They had 1,500 people apply.
Oh my God. I actually wasn't sure if it was a joke when I saw it.
No, it's not a joke.
Wow.
No, I say this a lot. I view him like a guy who is climbing Everest and going out and being an explorer that I have no interest in doing, but I'm super happy he's willing. You know,
he shares everything.
Shares everything for free. I think the thing about males using an ice pack on their genitals and not crushing their sperm count in a sauna is gold.
Yeah.
And now it's valid. It's validated. You know, there's lots of cool stuff that he's brought back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But how do you have, you know, again, it's like when people hear these things in a podcast and it sounds so good and real and they're like, I'll do this. And how do you have discernment that it's good or bad for you? Because, you know, again, I go back to this list of like the CBC and the HRV and we said, you know, morning cortisol and glucose and Dutch health test. Where do we go off the rails as a consumer and our ability to make sense of all this data? Where does it get dangerous? Do you know what I mean? I'm always asking that question. I'm like, what should, as a consumer, let's pretend I have no health training at all.
Yeah.
And I'm not a licensed healthcare practitioner and none of this podcast is health advice. Where does it go off the rails and what should I, Freddie, be responsible for?
I think people make the mistake of adding too many things in at one time. Like, I think less is more. Remember that. Less is more. So if you don't know what you're doing with supplements, I'd rather someone just not take any supplements than like randomly buy supplements off of TikTok because someone said it helped with their anxiety or whatever.
That's right.
You know, I think Also, when you see advertising on social media, Facebook ad, TikTok, whatever, and it appeals to you, oh my gosh, she has low iron and it fixed her low iron. That resonates with me. Mm-hmm, rather than putting it in your cart and buying it immediately, take a picture, maybe keep a notebook, write it down. So it's in the back of your mind, like, okay, there was that one thing for that or that. But I'm seeing people are just buying things and then they have 100 different supplements at home. They don't know what they do. They don't know how they interact. They definitely don't know how they interact with their genetics, their gut microbiome, their hormones, their personal health goals. So again, it's like, I'd rather people just not have any supplements, not have any gadgets, just do the free nature, because you're not going to harm yourself with the free nature biohacks. Mm-hmm. And then if you do want to add things in, like one at a time, one at a time, one gadget, test it for at least 30 days. Track your HRV, track your sleep data, track your resting heart rate. How does that impact you for 30 days? But people are adding too many things in. And we're seeing this in peptides too. People are like, oh, I'll just take these 10 peptides. I'm like, you can't take them together. Hold up. Let's try one and see how you interact. Because it's wasting your money, obviously, but I think it's wasting your time, because then people are hopping around to different things and they're like, nothing works. I'm like, because you didn't give anything a real chance to work.
Yeah. There were a couple chapters of the blueprint which were really challenging for me to put together, because I was like, how do I teach this? How do I teach this for people going through a course when I have got all these like bioindividualities and different ways of processing? And if you look at big data, like big data is, if we could pull like the major deficiencies through the US population, it was sunlight and vitamin D exposure. It was whole food as a nutrient dense palate. It's people missing things like sleep and stress, lack of movement. People aren't breathing, you know, but the deficiencies were magnesium, vitamin D plus K2, omega-3s, B vitamins, which we've already talked, that's a hot topic. It was choline, iodine, and selenium, zinc, and potassium and electrolyte balance. Those are pretty simple. And some of those can be addressed by food. But if we're supplementing for deficiency, like those were the ones that I saw were pretty big and it was some pretty minimal testing, that's something you could easily identify. And then retest. You look again on your next set of labs and you see how those adjusted.
Yeah. What do you think of HTMA? Are you a fan?
I am. I believe in HTMA. It's so funny. Somebody just connected me with Morley Robbins, who is a very big HTMA root cause protocol. He's good. I think he's brilliant, but polarized in his camp of thinking.
Yeah.
My problem with HTMA, and it's hair test mineral analysis. And so the idea for the audience is like, hair is very current. They're all cells. They're all my cells. So my hair would be very current biological data to send to a lab, break it down, and look at my mineral ratios and possibly environmental toxicity or metals. And I do think it's interesting. I used it. My problem with it is the rebalancing act, because that is where I feel like it's not a consumer endeavor to rebalance your minerals. Is really hard. I think you can do a lot of harm. And so I just have a lot of questions for it. The other thing is like from a compliance thing, and I've done it a couple times where it's like, it's literally like you need these 10 bottles. You're going to take these 4 in the morning, this 2. And I'm like, is this a forever protocol? Is it really this? To me, I want it to not be that hard.
Yeah.
But I believe in it. And now I tell you what, I had my mom on Barton's Upgraded formulas for years, and she rebalanced, and all her stuff came into really good ranges. But she worked with a coach probably for 3 years and consistently.
Yeah.
And got herself to a really good place, you know.
I think you got to be consistent. If you're going to go down the HTMA rabbit hole, it's got to be like every 6 months, you're doing another hair test, you're working with a coach. And you're in it for the long haul. It's not like a one and done.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Paul Saldino had posted a picture of total plasma replacement. He had went to Spain, and you know, everybody's holding up these bags of plasma in which they pull your blood out, filter your blood just like an oil change, and they're removing, I think it's 3 liters of plasma. And he's like, And the caption was, look, I've removed 25 years of toxins from my blood. And I looked at that post. I was like, but we don't store all our toxins in our blood.
Right. We would die if we did.
We would die. We, with the body's so smart. It's like, you know, it puts it in the fat. It puts it intracellular. It's in the bones. You know, lead is goes to the bones. Like it's a lifelong endeavor. We don't detoxify in a 4-week juice cleanse. Doesn't happen. It's like a brushing your teeth thing. You do a little bit every day.
Yeah.
You know, you do a little bit every day, like the sweating and breath and good sleep and lymphatic drainage are things that complement that pathway from things that move from, I have a great triangle in the blueprint where it's like, you know, from the cell to the fat through the organs of elimination. Mm. That's a pathway of a toxin to leave the body, but it's not just through. I'm not saying TPN isn't, TPN is total parenteral nutrition. What is it?
TPE.
Total plasma. TPE. Total plasma exchange.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I think that is like a brilliant therapy. But in the US, it's $10,000 to $12,000 for one treatment. You don't need one.
Right. Yeah.
Team, after battling Lyme disease and cancer for 20 years, I'm always on the lookout for cutting edge ways to slow biological age and repair damaged tissue. A key factor is our body's ability to produce stem cells, a process that unfortunately declines sharply after age 30. In fact, age-related disease can reduce your stem cells by up to 50%. This is where Stem Regen comes in. This is a stem cell booster that has personally helped me, increasing circulating stem cells by up to 300 million in 1 month. You heard that right. Stem Regen optimizes your body's repair system using powerful adaptogens to naturally enhance the stem cell production within the body. For full scientific deep dive research, you can check out episode 179 with founder Christian Drapeau. And I'm excited to share that Stem Regen offers a 30-day money-back guarantee on purchases through the official website. You can use code BEAUTIFULLYBROKEN for $30 off your first order. Let's go. Let's grow. Let's repair.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you know anything about me and my Instagram, you know I love red light therapy. Specifically, LightPath LED has launched a light called the Diesel Series. So this focuses on pulsed light frequencies, which have been used in wellness centers for over 20 years. These panels are 15 inches wide. They have a 5-year warranty that is the longest in the industry, and they focus on 630, 670, and 810 wavelengths of light because those are the most researched and the most powerful in the human body. This panel pulses between 1 and 9,999 hertz, and every purchase comes with a phone consultation so you can best know how to use it. LightPath LED is the panel that I've used since I got into wellness. They are tried and tested. They are a fan favorite. And I am telling you, if you shop around it, you look at one of these panels next to the industry standard, you will be blown away and you will not be sorry. You can use code BEAUTIFULLYBROKEN for a discount to start using red light therapy in your home today. So let's jump on in and let's shine the light. Now we'll go back to our show.
There's another one. Do you know the Lumati? Have you heard of Lumati? It's a like 5-in-1. It's vibration plate, ozone, red light, vagus nerve stimulator, and breath work.
Mm-hmm.
But they also have, it's something very similar to TPE. I'm blanking on the name. I can pull it from their website. I think the website's just Lumati. But yeah, it's not cheap. But they're seeing miraculous things happen with, I mean, especially cancer patients.
Yes.
With this, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we've got all those signaling molecules within that plasma and all that, those old, I would like to say, like the old biological material in which your immune system has won the war against, and kind of removing all that noise. And then if you put in new plasma from a donor, yeah, you've kind of got a, like a little bit of a system control alt delete, like a reboot, like a defrag almost, like on a computer.
Yeah. 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 That's a cool analogy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and I do see miraculous things. It's interesting. He did, I think, pretty sure he did medical tourism. I think he went to Spain.
Okay. Okay.
I'm trying to find a clinic right now for a person to go to, and I'm helping build their road forward. And it's, yeah, it's really interesting. All the, yeah, navigating what does that look like to go to Turkey or Spain or try to find some.
Okay, you're like looking at a different place.
Yeah.
Yeah, because this one, now, oh, Hemo Detox. That's the name of it.
Mm.
But it's in Tijuana.
Yeah. You know, Total Plasma Exchange, they offer it at We Are Blood in Austin as a medical treatment.
Okay.
But you have to have, you know, it's whatever, sepsis.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But, yeah.
You know, they offer it in the hospital. Yeah. It's a thing. I had a friend who died of a systemic infection. He went septic. He had had the kid I went to college with. He had had, what did he have? He had HIV and he did a marathon and he picked up some weird bug. I think he was a dog walker. My friend Lawrence, it just started to progress and his organ failure and everything. And this is like 2015, 2016. And I went down to visit him. He was not awake in a hospital. And the doctors are really excited because they're like, we've got this filter from Spain. We're going to filter his blood. We're going to try to get the infection out. And they had ran him through a couple cycles. It did not take because he was too far gone.
Too far gone. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but that was like one of my first experiences hearing about it. And I didn't, you know, it was like
that long ago.
It's a long time ago. But it was like Latin.
Yeah.
It was like Latin.
Yeah.
But there's some good research on it. I started a research. It was like, yeah, it was like they were doing it on farm animals. They were doing it on like pigs that had really bad infections and they were seeing good results.
Oh.
It was wild.
Crazy. Had not heard that.
Renee, we have not talked about teeth yet and dental health.
My pearly whites.
You have amazing teeth.
Thanks.
You mentioned the rabbit hole of dental stuff. Can you tell us a little bit about like your last year and like, because you come from dental royalty, first of all.
I'm very fortunate in that. Yeah. With my dad being a biological dentist since 1985.
Yeah.
OG. And my mom, you know, a holistic dental hygienist. So yeah, I grew up with that. Yeah. Well, first off, I have to say all of my dental work happened because I had a really bad accident when I was 16. Because I've discovered over the years, as I talk about my dental journey, people are like, man, you have a lot of dental problems for, you know, having a dad as a dentist. I had perfect teeth growing up. I never had cavity, straight teeth, never had braces, didn't grow up on fluoride. I mean, my dad cut fluoride out of our toothpaste in the late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am, and we didn't have fluoride in our water. So I was proof that like, you don't need fluoride and never had cavities. And then when I was 16, I had a little bit of a problem with alcohol at the time, and I got really drunk and I fell off a second story balcony face first.
Mm.
And that changed my dental story forever.
Changed your life forever.
Changed my life forever. Because here we are 23 years later, I'm still dealing with dental stuff.
Mm.
Yeah. So there's some emotions around the trauma of that. So anyways, that day I broke my jaw in three places. I broke most of the teeth back here. Two, I broke so bad that at the time, any typical dentist or traditional dentist would have said, well, we'll just do two root canals. My dad already knew about the dangers of root canals back then. He had already stopped doing them in his practice. And so he said, the only option is we have to extract what's left. So I had the roots of those two teeth taken out, which has been a lot of the work of the last year. And then, I have a lot of fillings, crowns, things like that, that just over time, you know, they break down because they're weird. They're weird fractures on teeth. They're not like, you know, if you've had a cavity, you know, they may drill a little bit out, put a little filling in, and that filling will last a pretty long time, right? Mm-hmm. But I have weird fractures because of the way I fell on my face. And then so I had my jaw wired shut for a couple months and that pulled all my teeth. So then I had to get braces. And then I had two titanium dental implants put in. This was in 2005. 2005 in the United States, that was your only option for dental implants was titanium. I think at the time, Germany, maybe parts of Europe were offering zirconia ceramic implants, but it was still pretty new. You couldn't get them in the US. And I really wanted to replace my teeth, so I got them. And then over time, I would say about 10 to 15 years later, then we got zirconia implants in the United States. We started to hear about the dangers of having titanium in your mouth, also in your body. I haven't done a lot of research on what's happening with titanium in like your, you know, knee replacements, hip replacements. But in the mouth, we're seeing that a couple of things are happening. We're seeing an increase in chronic fatigue, autoimmune conditions, asthma, allergies, brain fog, poor mental clarity, and also potentially an increase in EMF sensitivity. They're saying that with like the saliva being almost like a conductor in the mouth with these metal implants, that if you're around Wi-Fi and things, that you could be more sensitive. So again, dealing with more fatigue, more brain fog. So I knew I wanted to get them out. They're also not pretty. You know, as the bone resorbs away, because bone doesn't really hold around titanium very well. It's not natural. It's not biocompatible with the body. So the bone starts to pull away, and then you start to see these black implants. Mm. So it was two parts. It was one that aesthetically, it looked terrible. You know, I will never forget many years ago, someone said, I think you have spinach in your teeth. I said, no. Those are my implants. I was like, that's a sign these got to go. And I started to get really self-conscious. In photos, I would smile and you'd just see this big black spot. But then also, you know, I tested positive on an ANA test, which is kind of the first marker of autoimmunity. And I was mm-hmm. like, well, that's weird. And we know that implants can cause that because going back to, they're not biocompatible. It's a foreign object in the body. And I've always struggled with chronic fatigue. And so I thought, you know, it's finally time to get them out. So last January, I did get them out. My dad's oral surgeon friend that he works with, he's amazing. He's a dentist, oral surgeon, plastic surgeon. He does all the things. So I went to him and I had them out, which was not a fun procedure because they're literally drilling these metal implants out of the bone. And then had that heal up. And then in June, I had to go in to get bone grafting put in because bone loss is very common with these titanium implants. Mm-hmm. So bone grafting put in. And then in December, I got my beautiful new white implants that are zirconia ceramic mm-hmm. implants. And now I'm letting that heal for a couple months and then I'll get the crowns put on and I'll have my teeth. So it's about an 18-month journey
yeah.
that I did to myself. I decided to do this. You know, it's been a long journey, but a lot of biohacking along the way. But yeah. And now I'm trying to spread the message about titanium implants. You know, yeah. I think root canals, you know, mercury fillings, I feel like most people know mercury amalgam fillings are not good in the mouth. More people know about root canals, cavitations, but now titanium implants. I'm trying to spread the word about that, that if you're dealing with an unresolved health issue, I would look at that.
I had a friend, and again, I think it was a compound complex fracture of his femur. Her son, he fell in high school, fell off a swing or something, had a really bad fracture. And they did a titanium plate and the wound wouldn't heal around. They were like, it's not closing, it's not closing, it's not closing. And I think he's on the mend now. But, you know, she had presented that to the surgeon. She's like, is it possible that the body is reacting in some way? He's like, no, that's not possible. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all they've been taught.
Yeah.
But from like a holistic mindset, it's like, should we be putting metal on our body? That doesn't make sense to me. I know. I mean, I'm very fortunate that with dental, I had an option to get a ceramic. Maybe, I don't know. Is there another option if you break your femur or knee replacement?
I don't know. No idea.
I don't think so yet. Hopefully one day.
Yeah. But I know plenty of people that have had joint replacements and total joint replacements that are, my mom has double knee replacements.
Yeah.
She's good.
And she's fine.
She's doing good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doing good.
And I think some of that's kind of like the rain barrel, you know, effect, you know, well, how did someone have 6 root canals and live to 100, you know, or how did this person smoke and drink every day and live to 100, right? I think the body can handle some things, but how much can it handle, right? And
yeah.
And for me, it was like the titanium in my mouth, it's one more thing my body has to take care of every day. The immune system is working overtime. It's causing inflammation in my body. And I thought, if I have the option to remove that burden, why not? Why not remove it?
Now, this having been done in the last calendar year, last January, have you noticed a change in the antinuclear antibody?
I haven't retested yet.
Cool.
I haven't retested. But yeah, that's on the radar. I definitely want to see if that has changed.
Yeah.
And if not, that's okay.
And how has the healing process been from all this dental work? Because I know it's a lot of trauma to the body and the tissue.
Yeah, it was harder than I expected. You know, I went in like, oh, I'm a biohacker. I'm going to have all the things. I'm not going to swell at all. My face, the first 2 surgeries, my face was like, you know, my husband jokes, I look like a UFC fighter that lost the fight. But I was implementing, you know, I had a lot of red light therapy. I mean, you name the red light device, I was using it externally. I had an appliance. I had the Thor laser. I was using all different red light therapies. So I'm sure that that helped. I was doing, you know, like stem regen. So hitting it from like the stem cell side of things. Peptides, I actually didn't bring in injectable peptides until my third surgery. I wish I had done them sooner. I was trying to do oral peptides. And I just, when you have something that traumatic, I don't think the oral peptides are going to cut it. So I injected, I did BPC 157 and TB 500 for 4 weeks before and 4 weeks after my last surgery. I had no pain. I had no swelling. It was a different surgery, so it wasn't a clean experiment, but interesting to note that I did that. I mean, I took Tylenol for like one day and then nothing.
Yeah.
Versus the first two surgeries, I mean, I was doing like ibuprofen 800, alternating it with Tylenol. I was literally setting my alarm clock for 2 hours and 59 minutes because that was how long I had to wait until the next pain med. I mean, I was just like, okay, as soon as I can take something, I'm taking it because I was in so much pain. Couldn't sleep through the night because I'm having, you know, I would be pain-free for maybe 2 hours and then it would kick back in. So I wish I had done the peptides for the other surgeries, but, you know, can't change that. Glad I did it for the last one. And I would definitely recommend that for people doing surgery.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. So you're close. You're close. And you're really lucky that you have, and it's, you're doing all your work at the Julian Center?
Yes. Yeah.
Great.
So I'm flying, you know, lots of trips home to Maryland. My dad's happy about it. Yeah. We're joking because like, so I need the crowns put on. And he's like, well, really, you need to fly home to get the impressions. And then you have to come back 2 weeks later. He's like, darn, sorry, you had to come home. So it's worth it. Well, cross country flight, go see family, get some dental work.
Yeah. You know.
And my parents' house is the dream biohacker home. So it's always fun to be there and do that.
Yeah, they have everything. Your dad got a Bimini.
Yes, he got a Bimini.
Is he using it? Do you know if he's using it? I got to have your dad on again. Oh, we were supposed to have, he said he had a death in the family and we were going to do an interview today.
Oh, today?
Yeah, we were scheduled for today. He said one of his best friends passed away and he had to do a...
Oh my gosh, I guess I need to call him.
Yeah, give your dad a call.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Okay. Yeah, it'd be good to have like a two-part series to hear from him.
Yeah.
I will say with the Bimini, when I was there for my last surgery, he used it every night that I was there for 2 weeks.
Great.
So.
Yeah. Pretty wild. I say that it was definitely a catalyst. You know, it's never one thing, but it was a catalyst in which it was such so inconsistent. It had been for a long time, a very inconsistent sleep. And now I use it 4 times a week now, but every single night, I'm basically like a 99 or 100 as far as like my quality of sleep, sleep latency, deep sleep, REM. I post that almost every day in my stories.
I see it. Yeah.
It's been wild. And now it's funny, you know, I've always hated cardio, but one thing that I kept seeing on all these HRV training programs is doing like some type of like sprinting or, you know, Tabata sprints, like 15 seconds on, 45 second chill for 10 rounds, 3 times a week, zone 2 cardio. That has totally made a difference in my sleep, as well as doing, I usually wear it. It's called the Relaxor.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's what it's, Conscious Breathing Institute. It's just like a little, a necklace that I can set the restriction on, and I breathe 10 breaths before I go to bed, and I breathe 10 breaths in the morning, and I do 10 at lunch every day.
What's your respiratory rate? Do you know your respiratory rate on your?
Yeah, 12.4.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. Has that changed since you started doing all of that, or has it always been good?
It's between 12 and 15, but it's now it's really sitting at 12 point something.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Okay.
Resting heart rate is around 50, 51.
Okay, that sounds better.
At
yeah.
Night, for my nighttime average is around, 50, 51.
Yeah. Yeah, but respiratory rate is another rabbit hole I'm down at the moment, trying to figure out. I have a very high respiratory rate, and is it connected to nervous system, sleep apnea? Like, there's just a lot that I don't think enough people are talking about.
Yeah. What's your respiratory rate?
It's like 18 to 20.
Mm.
It's very high. And some people say, it's not a problem. And other people are like, if it's not below 15, you have nervous system stress.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm doing a lot of different hacks for that, trying to figure out what really moves the needle.
Yeah. I think the more I'm in the space and the longer I'm in the space, this conversation around what is your relationship with your nervous system? It's never, you know, we don't just flatline it. It's not just perfectly chill. But the more that we have like this understanding of where I'm sitting, what does that feel like? Am I calm? Is there an underlying anxiety where I don't feel safe? What am I doing to create safety? But that hypervigilance, do you know what I mean? That we see in our space of like the hypervigilance around health. I'm like, I could just, again, you talk about clearing supplements and it's just like, I talk about clearing. You guys are just you're working too hard. It's a human being, mm-hmm. not a human doing. And you can't just do health.
Oh my God.
It's like,
yeah.
You know, we want, ideally this stuff falls to the background so we can have this great big life.
Right. Yeah. As a biohacker, I don't want to just biohack all of my hours for the rest of my life, right? I want to like biohack so that I can be healthier to live my life. Like for me, I love traveling with my husband. Like that's why I want to feel endless energy and mental clarity so I can travel the world with my husband, mm-hmm. not so I can sit at home and check off how many biohacks did I do today, right?
Yeah.
Like your biohacking shouldn't be a to-do list. When you have time or you're stressed and you need the boost, it's there for you. Mm-hmm. But if you go a whole day and you don't use a device, it's okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. I mean, ideally, yeah, I just went. Now, to be fair, I got on a plane. I went snowboarding with my family for 2 days. And oh, nice. It was really interesting to just, you know, I didn't bring an amp coil. I didn't bring a Flowpresso.
Yeah.
Now I did bring because I was snowboarding, I brought do you know the Avicen?
No. What's that?
Avicen it's a device you put your hand in. It's a warm plate and it does a vacuum seal around your wrist.
Yes. My dad has one. Yeah.
It's
an
old device. It's from the 80s.
Oh, wow.
But it tricks the brain into thinking the body's overheating. So in that warm hand, we get all this like great boost in circulation and I'm very sensitive to stuff. I can feel it like opening up the circulation down my thighs and,
oh wow,
you know, I would say that, you know, pelvic floor and like hip tension is a really good indicator that your nervous system is holding. Mm. Like it's like really tight down there. So that impacts my respiratory rate. But Avicen is great. Anyways, anytime I'm doing something sports performance and I can have that, it's big.
So you put that in your suitcase?
I keep it in my carry-on because it's not a checkable. I wouldn't check. I broke it one time. I dropped it. It was in a backpack and buddy grabbed my backpack and it flew out of the backpack and it hit like the concrete. It was like cracked it.
Oh,
so I had to
no.
get all these replacement parts. So I just keep it in my travel pack.
Yeah.
It's not six. I don't think it's 6 pounds.
Okay.
It's bulky, but it fits in a big old back.
Yeah, that's not that light. Or it is pretty light.
But yeah, it goes in my carry-on. But
yeah,
I brought that and I brought a little red light wrap.
Oh, okay.
And honestly, I put that on my belly at night. And for
me, which one do you use?
It's from LightPath LED.
Oh, okay.
I don't
okay.
even think they sell it anymore. I don't know. They might have it on there. But it's like less than like 12 ounces and it folds.
Yeah, yeah.
And from, you know, I'd put it on my knees at night after snowboarding. I put it on my belly to downregulate. I really, you know, I'm like, what fits in the suitcase and is travelable that doesn't take up space? Or I'm going to sit and unwind at the end of the night anyway. So that's where I kind of justify the Avicen.
Yeah. And it works for you.
Yeah. And it works. Yeah. It's great. It's a great device. I love it. I need to have them on. It's so funny. It's such an old, it looks like it needs an overhaul or a design upgrade. But I have talked to at least 25 people that say pain, which was always the thing for me going through Lyme and autoimmunity and all the thing. I had like this latent, my body was like not happy with my tissues in some regard. And I'd say that's pretty much 100% resolved.
Wow. That's incredible.
Mm-hmm. And I don't need to use it every day, but
yeah,
if I'm going to sit down on the couch, I'm going to pop the Avicen, my hand in an Avicen and watch TV.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, where does it fit in?
Yeah.
Is there anything you're really loving right now in your life that's kind of new that you're checking out, you're like stoked about?
I'm testing a lot of things right now. The Now Watch is pretty new. Do you know about the Now Watch?
No.
It's kind of measuring your stress throughout the day. And the idea is that it'll just vibrate when it senses, you know, increased heart rate, drop in HRV. So it's just like a gentle reminder of, so it's literally Now Watch. So it's all about being present.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is it's just a little gentle vibration brings you back into the moment. So that's a really cool one. I just got this new thing in the mail. It's a, blanking on the name, neuroscience, Sapphire Neuroscience. It's for women that deal with any menstrual issues,
mm-hmm.
PMS, PCOS, endometriosis, but it's a wearable on your head. So I'm going to test that for 3 months. Mm. I don't have a lot of menstrual issues, so I'm not the best guinea pig, but again, I don't want to recommend something or talk about something until I've tried it.
Yeah.
Because also I like to see how like the app interfaces. Is it easy for people to figure out and use?
Yeah.
But for women, I'm like, that could be a really cool thing because it's like a medication-free solution for pain, PMS, mood swings, especially.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Cool.
I'll send you the link for that so you can put it in the show notes if people want to check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been really excited about this one. It's been really interesting. It's a supplement called Integrative Neurotherapeutics. My buddy Skyler, he's a military vet and he's a biofeedback expert. He's in his master program now and all he does is map brains and scan brains and does biofeedback to optimize, you know, nervous system functionality and the brain's communication with all the things. And he has a new supplement out that which is like the elements or building blocks of that mental terrain. And it's a supplement. I've really, really noticed a lift in mood and joy.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You have to send that one to me.
Yeah. It's got a healthy dose of lithium in it.
Ah, okay. That's an interesting one.
Yeah. Morley Robbins and, oh, who's Matt? And Matt is another one who uses it. He's a big fan of lithium.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a whole other discussion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This wearable, before I forget, Lutea, L-U-T-E-A. It's by Sapphire Neuroscience.
Lutea. And that's Lutea. A headband?
It's a headband. Yeah. L-U-T-E-A.
Very
stay
cool.
Stay tuned. We'll yeah. Let me know how that goes.
Yeah.
God, we could talk about like a million things. I know. This is so fun.
I know. I want to be respectful of your time. Do you have 10 more minutes?
Oh, yeah. I'm good.
Okay, great. Something topical that maybe we can touch back. Oh, this would be a great one for you, me, and your sister, and Molly, and Natalie, and all our friends.
Aw.
You know, over the last few weeks with the partial release of all these Epstein files and you know, all the politicians that we thought were going to be outed. And there's people in our space like Peter Attia, Deepak Chopra. Obviously, they're very different types of mentions. And to watch that unfold and to watch the public response, do you have any feels about any of that?
Oh, I don't. I don't feel like I've stayed up to date on everything enough to really speak to it.
Yeah.
My only source of information has been social media, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's partially because I've been a little busy and distracted. You know, my mother-in-law recently passed and
yeah.
My husband and I were her closest family. And so we had to plan the funeral. We planned a celebration of life in Arizona and traveling and all of that. So I've been a little distracted by all that. But to answer your question, my takeaway is you never really know who someone is. You know, I think mm-hmm. people put these people up on pedestals like Peter Attia and even Mark Hyman. For a second, he was mentioned and then he was not on there.
Mm-hmm.
But just Ben Greenfield, Dave Asprey, all these names that people like put on pedestals as like these perfect humans. And I'm like, there's always another side to people. I think, you know, and I'm not saying Peter Attia is not a good person, but some of the stuff I read, it's kind of frightening that that could come out of someone's mouth when you're going to them for trusted information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he's really the main one I've been, you know, following.
Yeah.
The lowdown on.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you? Because I know you've been a little bit more in it.
I have. You know, it was I'm never surprised.
Yeah.
Ever when those things come out. Because I think just like anytime we try to push down something that is shadow and say that it's not part of me and I'm not going to talk about it. And I think it's only going to grow. It grows in the darkness.
Mm.
And so I think that is to be human. We all have a shadow side. We have dark things. We have dark thoughts. We have dark feelings. We don't necessarily live in a community where there's certain things like which are very, very taboo. Like, you don't, if you, first of all, I think one of the big problems with this whole thing is really about, it's a system which is built for the abuse of power. That's the world we live in. That's capitalism.
Yeah.
That's never going to change.
Yeah.
I don't see it changing. And I'm a very much an optimistic person. I think it's something that we can deepen our awareness about. And again, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not, an email does not mean anybody is guilty of anything. And I think that's where the vitriol and the righteousness with what's been upsetting to me is the righteousness of other influence in our space, taking the opportunity to like highlight, well, this is why I hated everything about Peter Attia's work and why VO2 Max is bullshit because he's involved in it.
Yeah.
I'm like, you are such, this is your ego.
Yes.
This is because you don't have a book. It's like every low level influencer made a post about how bad he was and how he was wrong. I was like, this doesn't negate any of the work he did at all.
Right.
It shows that he had undefensible character flaws and really poor locker room speech with a guy.
Yeah.
And none of it was like, it's really tough because there's this gap between the haves and the have-nots in our world. And it's growing wider.
Yeah.
Like the people who are just trying to put food on the table and the billionaires is growing bigger. So you have this, you have an anger. You know, we really do have like a modern day witch hunt happening right now in which people want, they want you to be burned at the stake. Mm-hmm. And forever you will be ostracized from the community. Man, if we really wanted to grow as a society, and it's not that people aren't held accountable for their true crimes, which should be decided in a court of law, not the court of public opinion. But we should hold people in the fire. And then I really do believe in like, where do they get their opportunity for the turnaround? Do we make that space for people to be forgiven? Do we make space for people to be like, hey, I'm having impure thoughts about a child? Because right now, if you were to tell a doctor or a therapist, they have a, they're required to report you to the authorities. You
right.
go to jail.
Right.
And that, the way we handle that is not, it's only going to breed more divergence.
Yeah. I mean, the mental illness
mental
issue.
Illness,
I mean,
right.
that's a whole, yeah. I mean, clearly, I mean, Epstein was not well in the head. That's very clear. But like my question, yeah, with like Peter Attia, you know, he was still involved with Epstein after we already knew a lot about what Epstein was doing.
That's right.
So, my question, and I don't know if he's answered this, it's like, you were obviously aware of that. Did you consider breaking ties? Was there a financial commitment, some kind of commitment that kept you in there?
100% there was.
Just a lot of questions. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%
and even like, you know, a couple of the things he said, I have guy friends that I've heard worse things come out of their mouths, you know, but it's not in an email to some billionaire that's then being published online. But like, people say some pretty crude stuff. I'm just going to say.
Locker room talk.
Locker 100%. Room talk.
It's bad.
Yeah.
And if you had a voice recording of me and all my things I've ever said in my life, 100%. I'm like,
oh gosh. In college, out at a bar, please. Thank God there were no recordings.
Yeah.
I don't know
we didn't
what
have
I said.
iPhones.
Yeah.
We had the digital throwaway Kodak cameras. I'm sure there's a few of those floating around and all the things. Yeah. All the pictures I've sent online. I'm sure there's unfavorable moments, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really interesting. I just try to, I've tried to not join the witch hunt and.
Yeah. And try and debunk, don't debunk all of his work. I agree with what you said.
Like, yeah.
Doesn't mean that he was wrong and his book sucks.
I think it's telling though. Yeah. I think it's telling if you're using the opportunity of him being involved in those files to debunk his work. For me, that screams your ego.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people that we both follow and know, and they're like, I must speak up to this because, you know, I never really agreed that longevity was all about VO2. And I'm like, dude, you're telling, you're showing your hand.
Yeah.
If you really cared about, if this was really an issue, if it was really about the wrongs done, you'd be taking your million follower platform and you'd be highlighting the pleas of the victims who are having to sit and watch people that have probably raped them still speak on television.
Yeah.
Like that's. I mean, if it was really, if, you know, if you really want to believe in righteousness, you know, that's my problem with it.
Right.
But yeah, it's been interesting watching it unfold. I've tried to, you know, yeah. Yeah. And I know Peter. I know Peter's family. So.
You do?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's, I don't know him. I don't know him. Everything I know about him is just from, you know, the internet. So I, yeah. That's why I don't, can't speak to it too much. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I read his book. I loved his book.
Yeah. All the things. It's just wild. It's just wild. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if there's anything to make of it or do from it. Other than that, again, it was my frustration was really at the response within our community as an opportunity to, I'm like, of course you have to post on this. It's very topical. It'll bring you more views to your ugh. Profile.
Yuck.
Yeah. That was the yuck, gross yuck. Part to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yucky. Yucky. I want to take a minute and just how are you and Ryan doing after going through the process of loss and grieving? And Ryan's such a beautiful soul.
Mm.
Your husband. You can just tell
he's
tell by the way he
amazing.
Puts himself out there, how he writes, how he speaks. He sounds like he had a really beautiful relationship with his mom, which most people don't have.
Yeah.
How has that been?
Yeah, it's been tough navigating it. It's, you know, it's something neither of us have ever been through, gratefully. We're 39. It still feels like we're too young for him to lose a parent, me to lose my mother-in-law. I think we have a little more closure now that we had the funeral and the burial.
Mm-hmm.
I think because, well, she was cremated where she lived in Arizona for the last couple of years and then going to Jersey. So it was like a 2-month process. So the closure, I think, has been a little bit more helpful. But I mean, Ryan, he's amazing. He's so strong. He's mm-hmm. so strong. I mean, I would just be a complete disaster. But he wrote the most beautiful eulogy.
Mm.
And he was excited to give it. Like, mm-hmm. he was like, I get to speak in front of all these people about how amazing my mom was. Like, he was so honored that he got to do that. His two brothers didn't want to do it. His stepfather didn't want to do it. So it was easy for Ryan to step up to the plate. And she was an amazing woman. Just every person I talked to was like, she was the sweetest. She had the biggest heart. All she did was love. She was constantly pouring love out to everyone else, never expecting anything back. You know, I've never met anyone like her, but she, the last year of her cancer battle was really hard.
Hmm.
And so it was also a little bit of relief to see her out of pain. You know, when someone, and you know what this is like, when your whole life is just cancer treatment, going to the doctors, getting more scans, getting more blood work, getting more this. And that's not, you're not living. That's all she was doing all day. And then, you know, she got really bad news back in November. The PET scan came back and the cancer had just exploded. I mean, it was just everywhere. And there was just, you know, it's hard because, you know, we felt like we tried to bring in a holistic approach and support her, you know, helping her with the nutrition and fasting and supplements and exercise, you know, but there's only so much you can do for another person, right? At some mm-hmm. point, they have to do it for themselves.
They got to drive the ship.
And I think as she got sicker and weaker, it just became really hard for her to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But we, you know, we supported her the best we could and can just hope that she's in a better place now and not in pain and not weak and not battling. You know, there was a lot of depression before the cancer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot in the family that runs in the family, I think. And then you get a cancer diagnosis and it's a lot for someone to take. But I'm grateful that she moved to Arizona 4 or 5 years ago because being in Vegas, I got to see her a lot more versus yeah. she was in New Jersey. So
yep.
grateful for the time we had together. And, you know, it's funny now that she's passed, I look around the house and I see how many gifts she gave us over the years of things that hang on our walls.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, she was just like, she wanted us to just think about her. So there's like constant little reminders everywhere. And like, so grateful for that.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Very sweet. She was always so thoughtful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And her, you know, you get a sense of who she was and the love that she held and the woman that she was and how that lives on through you and it lives on through Ryan and it lives on through all her friends. And that's what we all have is the reality. None of us are, you know, this idea that you win or lose the war against cancer. It's part of her. It was part of her unfolding story. And, you know, it colors the end of her life, but it didn't define her total existence. And again, she has this beautiful son who's got a great heart that is going to keep giving a degree of what she gave. And that is like the next wave. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. I think a positive note is her mom, Ryan's grandmother, actually passed from the same cancer, ovarian cancer, in her early 40s. And Cindy, my mother-in-law, she was 70. Mm. And so while so many of us think 70 is too young, for sure, 70 feels way too young, her mom was like 42. And she had the genes for ovarian cancer, of course, but that's a way to look at it. What a gift she got.
Mm-hmm.
She got a lot more time than her mom had.
Yeah. Yeah. Grateful for what we have.
Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful. Well, I'm going to let you go. We got to do it again soon. This was awesome.
Thanks for having me. Yeah. I know. We could just talk about all the things forever.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always helpful for me to, you know, I know time moves so fast and you go a long time without checking in, but the work that you and your sister are doing and your dad and your mom and your family, it's just, you guys are so inspiring to me and everybody has such a good heart. So if you guys are out there, where can people listen to you? Where can they find the Julian Center?
Yeah. So Biohacker Babes podcast every Monday. We do 50 episodes a year. It's been almost 7 years. Talk about time flying.
Yeah.
And then on Instagram, if people want to connect, biohacker_babes, message us. It's Lauren and I checking the messages on there. And then, yeah, the Julian Center, my dad's dental practice is in Maryland. If you're looking for some biological dentistry and you don't have to live in Maryland, he has people fly in from all around. It's worth it. I fly cross country for it. And I'm in Vegas. So if anyone's in the Vegas area and you want to go to a wellness event. We have lots of cool breath work and sound baths and cold plunge events here. So yeah, Vegas people think is like the party city, but there's a wellness vibe happening here.
100% there is. Yeah, 100%.
So definitely there's a
center that I did a training right before A4M with Flopresso.
Oh, right, right.
That's going to be massive. One of the biggest ones in the world.
Yeah, they just opened, right? Recently?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Maybe I'm thinking of a different place.
I'll tell you what it's called.
But it's crazy. There's a biohacking center a mile from my house. Like, it's wild.
It's called Life Muse.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's not the one I was thinking about. Okay.
They're in beta for a year.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They're actually doing a year-long, like, testing protocols and how people will come into town and do different procedures and stem cells and exosomes and all these things. So
cool.
They're doing it right. Yeah.
Yeah. I can see Vegas being like the place where people come for that, for like kind of like wellness tourism.
That's right.
There's a lot here. And I don't know if you know Dr. Jeffrey Gross. He's here. That's where I get my exosomes from. And There's a biohacking center a mile down the road from me. There's a women's wellness and biohacking center that just opened in Summerlin.
Cool.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Before we cut out, tell me, what's your exosome game? What are you doing with exosomes?
So I just did an IV with Dr. Jeff. Mm-hmm. I think it was like 3 trillion exosomes.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot.
It's a lot. It's a lot. Yeah. Yeah. The first time I did an exosome IV, it was a couple billion.
Uh-huh.
I didn't feel anything.
Yeah.
Not that you're always going to feel it.
Same.
But then I did like 3 trillion and man, I felt so good for like the couple weeks after that, like slept even deeper than normal. My energy was amazing. I could barely touch coffee because I was like, I have too much energy. Like I was like, oh, and then, you know, it wears off. He says you could do it every 3 to 6 months, but
yeah,
I don't have quite that amount of money.
What is something like that caught? That's a high dose.
Yeah, it was. I think I paid $2,500.
Oh, that's cheap.
For that. Yeah. He did. So he does a lot of conferences and events.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did it like a week after an event. So he gave me the show special.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm sure. Hopefully it's okay. I'm sharing pricing on here. I'm sure he could give you a friends and family show special.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think it's normally like $5,000. So I think it's like a half price when you do a show special. But yeah, it was awesome. You know what? Part of me is like, I should have skipped Pronuvo and done another exosome IV.
100%. 100%. And from my understanding, it's a signaling molecule without a cell wall or out any DNA. There's RNA in an exosome, correct?
I think so. Yeah. And they get it from a very clean source.
Yep.
The donors, I think it's from placentas.
Yeah.
But no COVID vax.
Yep.
Good health, all the things. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. But it's, yeah, it's cool because it goes to, you know, whatever part of your body needs. Your body's very intelligent in that way.
Yeah. So. Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. All right, my friend. Well,
thanks for having me on.
Oh, my goodness. Anytime you want to come on. I really appreciate you.
Same. I know. You got to come back on our show. It's probably been too long at this point. So,
yeah, whenever you're ready.
Okay.
Big love. Bye.
All right. Mwah.
All right, team, let's be real. When your immune system goes down, everything in life feels harder. That's why I use Silver Biotics and I keep it in my cabinet and my travel bag. It's not hype, it's nano silver technology, backed by science and proven to support immune function. Most importantly, hear this, without wrecking your gut like antibiotics. This is fast-acting, broad-spectrum immune support you can take every day. And you can trust it when life hits you hard. I've used this in travel, under extreme stress, even post-surgery, and it's always come through. There's no resistance buildup, and there's no nonsense. It's just clean, simple support when you need it most. So you can use code BEAUTIFULLYBROKEN for a generous discount in the cart at silverbiotics.com, because nothing feels better than knowing your body is ready. If you enjoyed the show today, head over to Apple or Spotify, wherever you listen, and please leave us a 5-star review. And if you want to continue working together and learning, you could join the Biological Blueprint. This is my custom program I created over the last 20 years of life experience and education to help you move from where you're stuck to where you want to be. There are over 20 different medical professionals involved. Everything is a walk and learn. We can go outside together to the gym. There's lectures, webinars, downloadable PDFs on everything we've ever talked about on the podcast. It is my opus. It is my love letter to the human body and the operating manual I wish I had had when I started to get sick. You can also extend our relationship and deepen the process by going to beautifullybroken.world and check out our store. Listed there are the technologies, the supplements, the products that I love and I personally use and I've curated for you. Most of them have significant discounts by using the link or the discount code beautifullybroken, and they do support the podcast through affiliations. Now, if you want to check out our YouTube channel, we've had some changes. Unfortunately, the overseers at Google decided we talked too much about Silver Biotics and Nano Silver, and all our content from the last 10 years was taken down. But we have a new channel, and that link is also in the show notes. Now, finally, a message from my vast team of internet lawyers. The information on this podcast is for education. By listening, you agree not to use this information found here as medical advice to treat, diagnose, or cure any medical condition in yourself or others. Always consult your guiding physician for actual medical issues that you may be having. And our closing, we are in a paradigm shift. The world needs you at your very best. So take these conversations as a jumping off point for further exploration. Remember, while life can be painful, how we put the pieces back together is a beautiful process. I love you so much. I'm your host, Freddie Kimmel, signing off.